Welcome to the Heritage Series of the UUSM Connections podcast. I'm your host, Jack Brennan, Connections at Unitarian Universalists of San Mateo. If you're a regular listener, then you know that the Connections podcast usually focuses on individual people who make up the UUSM community. This Heritage Series is a little different in that the focus is on the history of UUSM through the lens of the individual people who have the most history at UUSM. Our transition team wrote the questions that I'll be asking, and the questions will be the same for every person who is interviewed as part of this Heritage Series. My guest today is Gail Ewing. Let's get started. Welcome, Gail.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
When and why did you first come to UUSM?
Lynn and I had been seeing each other for about 4 years, and we were going to get married, but we didn't know anyone that could marry us with the people we tried to engage. And so one of Lynn's friends said, well, why don't you try the Unitarian Church? So we did, and the minister at that time told us that he was not available. But we went ahead and joined the church anyhow, because both of us seemed to like it. Oh. Then the minister said, I hear you guys are going to get married. Who are you going to have marry us? And we said, we ask at the office for you. And this was Daniel Panger. We had some minister for about 2 or 3 years there, 4 years.
What year was this?
1985.
Okay, 85.
Yeah. So anyhow, he said, well, since you have privileges here, you have rights. So he says, I can marry you. We said that your secretary said that you were busy. And he says, well, that's before I knew you were members of the church. So anyhow, Lynn and I did get married in May of 1985. And at that point, we'd been seeing each other for a little over 4 years, I think, 4.5 years. He married us, and that was the start of the relationship with the church as well.
Yeah. And what has kept you here all these years? What made you stay?
I speak for myself, but I like the friendliness and the openness. I like the idea that it's not focused on one religion, and there's a variation of that, and there's business in a church where it's not a rigid thing, which I really didn't care for that. And Lynn, pretty much the same thing. And we were married for 34 years, and then she passed away 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's been kind of tough for me, but I'm getting through it. It's a long process. The grieving is not easy to do.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
What do you remember most about the early years when you were at UUSM?
The early years was more casual than it is now. It's really, we've stepped up the structure of the church and how the sermons are given and so forth. I remember Daniel was an outspoken person, and he created some problems there because of that. So he ended up leaving, I think, 2 or 3 years after we joined the church. And then we had Joy Atkinson, who was a very good minister. And the thing I liked about it then, seemed to fit our lifestyle at that point, was that they didn't have any sermons or preachers during the summer months. We just essentially closed down. Sometimes we'd not even have a service. Mm. So it's very casual in that regard. And that, at the time, that was very appealing to us both.
Hmm. Which staff members or lay leaders would you say made the most impact here over the decades, and why?
The lay leaders are, you know, we've been members since 1985. Some of them have been there several years before that. And there's been a lot of people that have passed away too.
What were the highlights in UUSM's history? When did the congregation come together around a common mission and goals and really live that out with a sense of meaning and purpose and pride?
You know, I can't exactly pin that a time on that. It just, it got to be more structured. And when you have a long-term minister, when it's been there over 3 or 4 years, they really fit in and they either appeal or they don't appeal to the major parts of the congregation.
Yeah. Do you remember any low points in UUSM history when there's been the most pain for the congregation as a whole?
Well, I think when Ben was terminated here a couple of years ago, that was a major upset. My wife, he'd already passed on at that point, but she really liked Ben. And then it just turned out that there's some things that he was doing. It was not acceptable. And we didn't really know about it, didn't know about it until it already happened. So that was an upsetting portion of the journey for us.
Yeah. Looking back over the years, what do you think this congregation does best?
I'm just going to have to say that I think it's the sharpening of the congregation and the rules. And I hate to use the word rules because it's not really a rule. I mean, a lot of suggestions. And right. We're quick to move on when something doesn't work.
Okay. What is unique about this congregation?
Well, I think what's really unique is a number of different denominations of religions that there are that are represented there. Because right now we have some Muslims. Let's see, a lot of ex-Catholics. You know, they come with a lot of hard feelings, and I find that surprising for such a big church.
Right. When was UUSM most engaged with the wider community outside of UUSM? What partnerships in the local community have been the most fruitful and generative?
The one thing that comes to my mind right now is the donation that we pick out for the weekly support of the church. And then they come in, just like we had one on mental health about 2 weeks ago, and they give us a different perspective of closer to look at some things that need to be addressed.
Right. What parts of our history and heritage do you think we should intentionally carry forward now?
I like what's happened in the past, so I think just continue on that path of approaching things that are a problem for members of the congregation and they want to pursue it, that's available to them.
The world has changed a lot over the past decade or two, and since 1985, religious communities are being forced to change and experiment and try new things all the time. Given your experience and your perspective as an elder in our community, what do you see as our biggest challenges and our biggest opportunities now as a congregation?
I just read recently that 40% of the Americans are not regular church attenders or members, and that's down from 20 years ago or 15 years ago, but it has been on decline, and it's been affecting us too. And one of the things that with this renovation of the main church and the soon to be renovation of the sanctuary is that I've heard that once things are more appealing, it draws people in. So I expect that we'll probably have more attendees coming in now, but time will tell. When we get the social hall redone, I think that's going to make a huge difference there.
So. I do too. I think all of that together. We are already getting more visitors.
Yeah, than- and do you know who the latest person I heard that wants to sign up for it?
Who is that?
my grandson, Ben Ewing.
He
started coming, and he lives partially with Todd and I, and partially with his mother in Woodlake. And so that's within walking distance. So she's been bringing him. The more time she brings him, the more interest he has in it. So,
yeah.
And here's a 7-year-old kid. He had a birthday and he turned 7. And mm-hmm. he said, I've been around the sun 7 times. He's fascinated with the solar system.
Yeah, we love having Ben in RE.
He's a little spark plug.
Yeah, he is. He's great. Thank you, Gail, so much. And of course, many thanks to our listeners. Keep making connections.